Scotty, would you lift up the message and the word today? Lift me up today.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come here today to your house of worship and just enjoy time in your presence and hear some marvelous words from what you said, Jesus, all those years ago. May we take them into our heart. Holy Spirit, guide Ken through this sermon. Lord, may he not lead, but may he be led by the Holy Ghost. Yes. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, you know, I think we have found out over the time that if Randy's gone 1 week and I bring the message, you might as well just pencil in week two as well. Amen? Right? Hallelujah. And I love that. Last week was awesome. It was an awesome introduction or whatever. And so, you know, now we'll kind of go in. How many of you heard the parable of the Good Samaritan? I know, huh? Now let's collectively groan and tune out, right? Because we've all heard it so many times, amen? Right? No, we get it, amen? I'm being funny, but yeah, when you hear the Good Samaritan, it's like, okay, let's see, what's on my shopping list today, amen? We get it. They were enemies. The religious guys who were supposed to help didn't. The guys that they hated did help. We should all be neighbors to each other. We should all help each other, even if we don't like them and they don't like us. Amen. Right? I imagine that relatively sums up the years of Good Samaritan messages that we have heard in our lives. Hallelujah. Yay. And all that, praise the Lord, is fine, well, and good. Right? It is always a good thing to remind ourselves of Jesus' teachings, about how we love each other, you know, and I'm sure even we old-timers, amen. Dan in the back, you're an old timer. We've even heard the allegorical interpretations of the parable. Amen. Right? The traveler is Adam or man. The road traveled is life on earth. The robbers are the devil and his demons. Sin leaves us beaten and naked and half dead. The priests and the Levites and the laws and the prophets cannot save us. Only Jesus is the Good Samaritan who shows compassion and binds our wounds and puts us on his own shoulders and bears our burden, and he pays our price for our healing, right? And if you've never actually run through the parable in that light, then that's a freebie for you today. Amen. Amen?
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. To you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But hopefully today I might offer something, praise the Lord, that brings even a newer light to this parable. Or should I call it a story? We've all heard it as a parable, but should I call it a story? Should I even possibly call it history or a prophetic warning? Because this parable is all of those things. It's deeper and richer on the surface. Amen? It's like that onion that we all know the word to be. So today let's peel back a few more layers of this onion, this parable. Look at it in conjunction with last week's message. Hopefully many of you were here for last week. Because, beloved, if you were here last week, you know I was led to introduce the history of the Samaritans, not to make me look smart or anything, but because God had a purpose for this. The purpose is to introduce to all those who are willing to hear, to introduce the incredible complexity of the Word of God as it deals with prophetic understanding. Prophetic understanding. This is a key to growth in the church. Amen? Prophetic understanding. Understanding the way that the entirety of the Word works within each other. As it is written, okay, this is about prophetic understanding and understanding where we are. Remember what happened long ago. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I declare the end from the beginning, and from ancient times I declare those things which are still to come. Man, I love that. Hallelujah. What has been will be again, and what has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Therefore, surely the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. And it is the glory of God then to conceal a matter, and the glory of kings to search that matter out. All these things work together to understand, amen, the prophetic nature of the Word of God. From the beginning, the end is told, amen?
Amen.
And what has been will be again. If you want to know where we are and what to do and all of it, amen, it's found in here. So last week and this week is another introduction into how exciting it can be. I love this. I get excited to put this puzzle together, right? To read the entire Word of God and discern and understand the nature of the Word in all of its prophetic glory. To wit, last week and today, the prophetic relationship between the history of the Samaritans and the history and current day condition of the church. Because it's all in here. So first, of course, we will refresh ourselves with the parable of the Good Samaritan. Amen? And you've all heard it. It's in Luke 10, verses 25 through 37. I'll start going for time as you all get there. Luke 10, 25 through 37. Behold, a lawyer stood up to put him, Jesus, to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Yeshua said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. And now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So, likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. And he went up to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and that he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him. And whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these 3, then, do you think, proved to be the neighbor to the man who had fallen among the robbers?" The lawyer answered, "The one who showed mercy on him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise."
Amen.
Amen. So is this a parable or is this actual history? I've always been taught, beloved, I've always been taught that this is just a parable. Okay? But like I said last week, the Lord has had me learning about the Samaritans for quite some time now. And in doing so, just searching the Word about the things pertaining to the Samaritans and Samaria, I came across this history in 2 Chronicles chapter 28, starting at verse 1, skipping down to verses 5 and reading through there, we'll read through verse 15. 2 Chronicles 28, starting at verse 1. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord like his father David. Therefore, the Lord his God gave him into the hand of the king of Syria, who defeated him and took captive a great number of his people and brought them to Damascus. He was also given into the hand of the king of Israel, who defeated him with great slaughter. For Pekah, the son of Remaliah, this is the king of Israel, slew 120,000 in Judah in one day, all of them men of valor, because they had forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers. The men of Israel took captive 200,000 of their kinsfolk, women, sons, and daughters. They also took much spoil from them, and they brought the spoil to Samaria. But a prophet of the Lord was there whose name was Oded. And he went out and he met the army that came to Samaria. And he said to them, "Behold, because the Lord, the God of your fathers, was angry with Judah, he gave them into your hand, but you have slain them in a rage which has reached up to heaven." And skipping down, certain chiefs of the men of Ephraim, Azariah, Berechiah, Jehezekiah, and Amasa stood up against those who were coming from the war. And they said to them, "You shall not bring the captives in here, for you purpose to bring upon us guilt against the Lord in addition to our present sin and guilt. For our guilt is already great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel." So the armed men left the captives and the spoil before the princes and all of the assembly. And the men who have been mentioned by name rose. They took the captives. Now listen. And with the spoil, they clothed all who were naked among them, clothed them, gave them sandals, provided them with food and drink, and anointed them. And carrying all the feeble among them on their donkeys, they brought them to their kinsfolk at Jericho, the city of palm trees. And then they returned to Samaria. Amen. So, if you're listening, right, and you heard that, now you know the parable of the, right? Let's hit some of the bullet points. And you, the listener with ears to hear, you can decide whether or not the incarnate Word, the Lamb of God, was merely bringing a simple parable, or whether or not he was slickly using a historic event that a lawyer, a studier of the scriptures, would absolutely know this historic account backward and forward. Whether he was using this historic account not only to answer the lawyer's question about who is my neighbor, but also add to us, beloved, this is the incarnate Word, add to us some prophetic knowledge about the coming church. All right, here's some bullet points, amen? The victims in the historical account in Chronicles were the people of Judea and Jerusalem. The victim in the Good Samaritan was coming from Jerusalem. The victim in the Good Samaritan was on his way to Jericho. The victims in the historical account were taken to Jericho. The robbers in the Good Samaritan beat and spoiled and stripped the victim. The villains of the historical account beat and spoiled and stripped some of their victims. The Good Samaritan in the parable dressed the wounds, clothed the victim, and put him on his donkey. The Good Samaritans in the historical account dressed the wounds, clothed the naked, and put the feeble on their donkeys. The good guy in the Good Samaritan was a Good Samaritan. And the good guys in the historical account were Good Samaritans. Amen? Amen? Amen. So let the audience decide today whether there is enough evidence to make the case for the parable actually being Jesus retelling this story for a purpose. What purpose is that, you might ask? Well, let's read the lawyer's response. Amen? He, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Desiring to justify himself, amen? And so what did Jesus do? Jesus put him on blast. When we desire to justify ourselves, what happens? Right? One of the many times that the Pharisees, the scribes, and the lawyers, with their noses in the air, had to be reminded by their own history that they weren't quite as awesome as they think themselves to be. But for us, beloved, it is more. More than that, the story couldn't possibly stop there, right? Because if it did, it would only serve to be a neat little coinkydink in the greatness of the Word of God. So as we get into the closing of today's teaching, the purpose of the past couple weeks becomes evident. Now we're going to start putting these blocks together and building the prophetic understanding of being able to identify the church identity in the history of the Samaritans. because this is what the Lord has been teaching me for the past year, that I may bring it to you in these messages. Church identity in the history of the Samaritans. Which is why the title of today's message is Good Samaritans, Bad Samaritans. Right? Good church, bad church. And I'm not even talking about today. I am not talking about the church of today yet. But these past 2 weeks have been for the purpose of building a certain foundation of the historic comparison between the history of the Samaritans and the history of the church. For the purposes of, later on, God willing, we will get to see the future of the church in an in-depth study of the prophecy contained in the woman at the well. The parable, story, history of the Good Samaritan is the history of the church. The woman at the well is a prophecy of the future of the church. And please don't be caught up in the wording. Okay? Not to be overly confusing, beloved, but in the prophecy world, history and future run congruent. Okay, and I'm sharing something very heavy here about that. Many of you know what I'm talking about, praise the Lord. But that's a foreshadow of messages yet to come. The woman at the well, the future of the church. Let me, for today, bring it back. But it's just that this topic really gets me excited. Amen? Amen. So, shall we look at church history or church identity in the history of the Samaritans? The past as explained in the story of the Good Samaritan, and the future as explained in the story of the woman at the well. You know, the past history of the Samaritans is not exactly the story of kindness and victory, as we talked about last week, right? It's not really kindness and victory. It begins with a split from Judaism and almost immediate idolatry. And it is hallmarked with bad leadership, mixed religions, animosity with their Jewish brothers, including attempted genocide. So let us not fool ourselves, beloved. Let us not fool ourselves into revising Christian history into making it anything less than the same, right? The lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said, "Who is my neighbor?" Many times the church, desiring to justify ourselves, say, "We, you know, our Father is Christ, and so we are good to go." Amen? Let us not fool ourselves into revising Christian history into making it anything less than the same. We read in Acts, the division between the Christians and Jews was almost immediate. We know through history that the destruction of the temple in 70 AD led to a further division, and by 150 AD, Jews and Christians had divided completely into separate ideologies. And though the relationship continued to be at least tepid between the two, until the emergence of the Catholic Orthodoxy in the 3rd and 4th century. Orthodoxy, then, which blended pagan and Christian ordinances into one universal religion, rooted itself into world theology for about 500 years. And beloved, I will not go into all the pagan ritual blessings, amen. I'm not going to go into that. Y'all know what city my family lives in, right? But from here, the 10th century, 1,000 years of forced conversion, crusades, Inquisition, and anti-Semitism, including genocide, all right? It is said that Nazi Germany claimed to be 90%, Nazi Germany claimed to be 90% Protestant and Catholic. So I say all of that to say this, beloved. The history of Christianity reads exactly like the history of the Samaritans. And the history of the Samaritans is not savory. But, here's the gospel. Here's the good news. The gospel means the good news, amen. But here is the gospel in this story. Here is the good news in this story. The future of the Samaritans reads much differently. The future of the Samaritans includes the stories of the Good Samaritan, the thankful leper, amen, the joy of salvation brought to the citizens of the city of Sychar, and yes, even a city that would not let Jesus enter, yet still Jesus did not destroy. The future of the Samaritans is bright. So bright, we got to wear shades. Amen? Beloved, we cannot change the past. We cannot change the past. Right? We can acknowledge it because it is past. It is what happened. We cannot change the past. Either the past of the Samaritans or the past of Christianity. However, we need to be able to discern the mistakes made and work to correct them. Oh, listen, beloved, here's the meat of the message. We're closing, okay? We read the history of the Samaritans. We know the history of Christianity. Why? We need to be able to discern the mistakes made so that as we move forward, we can see them and correct them. Amen? We can use the prophetic examples of the Samaritans and let the understanding of these things change our lives. Can't we? When I read about the idolatry of the Samaritans, last week, when I read about the idolatry of the Samaritans, their golden calves, and their man-made holidays in the place of God's holidays, when I read about their mixture of pagan worship and God worship, most of us in the congregation were like, yeah, yeah, how could they do those things? Well, amen? Okay. How many people have said, boy, if I lived in that time, I wouldn't go worship those golden calves. I wouldn't go to Jeroboam's holiday. If I lived in that time, I would worship the Lord. Amen? Well, we find ourselves living in those times. Amen? What you are doing today, what you do tomorrow, next week, next year, is exactly what you would have been doing had you lived in those times. Right? How many people have said, well, if I lived in Nazi Germany, I wouldn't have let that stuff happen. Amen? Right? What's the old adage? What you are doing today is what you would have done back then. When I read about how Baasha reigned for 24 years doing evil in the sight of the Lord, and Ahab reigned for 22 years doing evil in the sight of the Lord, more evil than anyone before him. When I read about how many years the people put up with leadership that did evil in the sight of the Lord, and I think about how in this country, we have the ability to change leadership every few years. Amen? And how we pray for the Lord to restore our nation. And yet, as a church of a whole, America's Christian church continues to vote for lawless evil in the sight of the Lord. The future of the Samaritans started in one village, with one woman and one testimony. The future of the Christians also can only start with one life changed. Amen. Amen. I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you because these are the things that we see in your word, and these are the things that you try to teach us in the word, Lord. We can read them as stories, or we can read them as admonitions, as parables, as life-changing events. We say that we would not be the Samaritans of the old, but you know our hearts and you check our hearts. What we are doing today is what we would be doing back then. And everything starts with one changed life, Heavenly Father, Lord. So we lift our lives up to you. We lift your word up to you. And we lift the understanding of your word up to you. Let the hearers hear and the audience decide which day, this day, which side they will be on. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house and worship together. We thank you that you have brought all of the different cities together, Lord, to hear this word and to be a part of you. And we just love you and thank you and bless you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.